Welcome back to the Beyond Sunday podcast. This is Patrick Nazaroff. Pastor David is not with me today. He is on vacation this week, but I have a lovely guest here in the audience. It's my wife, Kat Nazaroff. Hi, Kat.
Hi, Patrick.
We're very formal here.
I know. Like you said, in the audience. Like, we're in our living room.
Yep, just sitting here. We've got cats running around, ready to talk about some stuff. My wife is a social worker.
Yes.
And she's been doing telemedicine for her clients.
Yes.
So that's like online counseling and group therapy.
Right.
Okay. And so we're going to talk a lot about mental health today. There's been a lot over the last couple of months that can challenge the mental health of any of us. And so we're going to take a look at that. All right.
Yeah.
Sound good?
Sounds good.
Okay. Yeah.
Let's go.
I'm not surprising, but first.
You're what?
I'm not surprising you with any of this, right?
Okay, no. Yeah. No, you did give me a heads up, though. Yeah. Didn't really give me a lot of direction, but here we go.
We're going to do just fine.
Here we go.
But first, let me get my article up here. I've got some news.
Okay. Do-do-do-do-do-do.
Oh, look at you.
That's for you, Katie.
Kat listens to our podcast.
I do. So, I'm an avid Beyond Sunday listener.
There you go.
Almost forgot the name of your podcast.
Whatever this thing is, I love it.
Yeah.
All right, this is from the Boston Globe, I think, here.
Ooh.
All right, Daniel Thorson, he's a Benedict monk, or Buddhist monk, not Benedict monk.
Not a Benedict
an
Arnold.
Ex-Benedict monk.
Ex-Benedict with some hollandaise.
He's a monk, and he spent some time meditating in a remote cabin and emerged after 75 days in isolation.
Nope.
First thing on Twitter, he said, "Did I miss anything?" So he's been gone
the last
75 days with not a clue of what's going on in the world.
I'd say he missed some things.
He missed a few things. One or two things he might have missed. Now, what are some things Daniel missed?
I mean... Pandemic?
Yeah, a global pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Sure.
Yeah, that's a thing. Yeah.
Major racial injustices being brought to light.
Yeah. Protests all around the United States.
Sure. Murder hornets.
Don't forget those. Go back to your cabin. You read about murder hornets, you're like, that's a thing too far.
Yeah.
I'm done.
Yeah. And many tropical storms.
Yeah.
And hurricanes, potentially? I don't know.
Yeah. Daniel here, a real-life Rip Van Winkle of, can you imagine going and just all of a sudden emerging into the world as it is today? And not even being, like, somewhat eased into it.
Yeah.
And, I mean, we didn't really have a big easing into, like, coronavirus. One day it's like, hey, coronavirus is a thing, and I think some people have it in Los Angeles, and all of a sudden, hey, the rodeo's canceled, NBA's canceled, baseball's canceled, everything's canceled.
And it seemed like 4 days later, my job was saying, like, okay, pack up your stuff, because you're going to work from home.
Yeah, it's kind of a weird world.
Here we are, months later.
Yeah, we went into work one day, and then the next... All right, so in the background, you can hear one of our cats knock down a box with a bunch of stuff in it. I might edit that out, I probably won't, though.
This is real life, baby.
Real life, yeah. This is real. Yeah, so we kind of got thrust into this as well. Would you have wanted to just, like, go on a little spiritual retreat over the last 25 days and just missed everything?
I mean, kind of.
There's some appeal.
Yeah, there is some appeal to that, though I think trying to catch up would be too overwhelming.
You really just could not.
To that spiritual retreat.
I mean, he said he found out on Twitter, and then, like, he had to go back. He had to go back, and he's, like, going into, like, the grocery store for the first time, and, like, all these new social norms are happening.
I know.
And he's like, I don't know how
people
this works.
People are wearing masks.
People are wearing masks. Nobody wants to talk to anybody.
It's true.
You know,
you
like,
have to stand 6 feet apart
on
this little paper square that they've taped to the floor.
Yes.
It's
very
confusing.
Like, how does this happen? What's going on?
This feels like a Stephen King novel, like The Dome.
Yeah, that's a Stephen King novel.
I know.
Yeah. I mean, I read it.
We got it.
Yeah.
It's on our bookshelf.
It is on our bookshelf.
I get it, and I can reference it.
Yeah, there's certainly some appeal. You know, at the same time, though, like, we're truly living in history right now. Like,
yeah.
These are things our...
Absolutely.
Our son, Timmy, will learn about in history class. That things will go over modern history. 2020 has got a lot of it.
Oh, man.
Yeah, because Things be crazy.
I know, and we've only just reached a halfway point.
Yeah.
2020.
Yeah, unfortunately, Daniel saw his shadow, which means six more weeks of coronavirus.
I mean, probably.
Probably, though, yeah.
So, that's accurate.
Yeah, so let's talk a little bit about mental health.
Oh, sure. What a segue.
What a segue. Yeah, let's go right in.
Daniel's
there.
Got it right.
Yeah, so things we mentioned, everything going on with this, have been a challenge to anybody's mental health, right? Like, a lot of norms that were in place have shifted suddenly, and that's got to take a taxing on everyone.
Oh,
right.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, that we're all in a new world, you know, that figuring out how to do life all over again and experiencing, you know, I think a phrase like a new normal has been said many, many times about this. And there's a lot of truth to that, right? Like,
sure.
You know, some new things have just entered the picture and we just have to accept them and just immediately. And that's just the way it is. So what are, you know, in your line of work here, Kat, like, how do you see kind of mental health, what are the challenges right now for people's mental health?
I think the biggest challenge is isolation.
Yeah.
Right? That especially in the beginning, people were encouraged to stay at home, stay with your family who lives with you. And so that means not seeing loved ones, not seeing friends, not seeing coworkers.
Mm-hmm.
So all of that was so drastically different. And I think right at first, you know, for us it was okay, but then fairly quickly trying to navigate how do I work full-time from home,
mm-hmm.
and parent full-time from home and not have any separation from where I work and where I live.
Yeah.
And then we're also not seeing anybody. And
yeah.
So it's just this immediate lifestyle change that, you know, we are people that need social connection. We need to
mm-hmm.
see and to be with other people. And so in order to keep people safe, isolation was encouraged. And that is just really challenging. That's
mm-hmm.
that's really hard in a time where I think there's a lot of fear, both with Corona and with some of these really hard conversations people are starting to have
mm-hmm.
about racism and what that looks like.
Yeah.
To not be able to see and connect on a deeper level outside of Zoom or FaceTime or something,
mm-hmm.
That's really challenging. It's really hard.
Yeah, you know, I am not, you know, a mental health professional. You know, I work in youth ministry for a church. But one of the things I've definitely seen is, like, sin or, like, resentment or all bitterness, they always are bred in isolation.
Oh,
you know,
sure.
Isolation is like, it's a, you know, like a still pond for mosquitoes, you know, like, in your brain. So, like, in the best of circumstances, when you're pulling away from every relationship you have in your life and just isolating in your own home or in your own junk, that's when things, like, take root in the world. And now it's, like, you're having to do that.
Right.
And again, we are supporters of isolation. We're
yes.
supporters of social distancing. We think this is healthy. This is the right decision for our country, which is hard. You know, we understand that. But in the midst of that, we can say, this makes it harder, right? This mental
right.
aspect is undeniably hard. We can't just say, even for those of us, like you and I, both have our jobs. We have a house. We have, you know, food on the table for our son. We have things that are our tangible needs taken care of. That doesn't mean, like, the mental toll is not easy right now. It's very difficult to endure all these things.
Sure,
yeah.
Right.
So we kind of identified, like, isolation is a major part of, like, what could take its toll on mental health. Anything else during this time do you think could really take its toll on someone's mental health?
I think certainly fear, you know.
Yeah.
I think it's hard to know what media outlets to follow and where to get accurate information. And so I think there's just a lot of uncertainty and a lot of, you know, I think we are a people who love to believe that we have control
mm-hmm.
of things. And I think in this time of Corona, it's just really shined a light on how little control we actually have. And I think that that's really challenging,
mm-hmm.
right? Like control oftentimes brings safety,
mm-hmm.
or at least perceived control brings this feeling of safety for people. And if we can't control what's happening or who's getting sick, or, you know, if I go out to the grocery and then come back home, am I exposing my family to something?
Mm-hmm.
And all of the information out there about what Corona is and what's happening. It's just scary. And really reminds us that we are not in control, and that's really challenging. You know, I work with a population of adults who are in outpatient treatment for drug and alcohol abuse, and that is a big piece, is recognizing lack of control over the things around us, and how do we not only tolerate that, but really embrace that we don't have control.
Yeah.
So I think it's a very challenging time, but also a real opportunity.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. That sense of fear, control. And, you know, like for many, many people out there, it's not just the virus, it's the economic impact on
absolutely.
Their lives. So, you know,
sure.
We can certainly, even though we agree with the social distancing part of coronavirus, it's undeniably that we have advantages that some families do not.
Oh, definitely.
And that's really, really hard, you know, and some people are being forced to go into work or have lost their jobs for this. And that's just a lot on a family system. It's a lot on the
sure.
United States. For me, too, seeing, like, you know, maybe the first, like, week and a half, 2 weeks, like, there was just, like, a lot of unity in our communities around, like, we want to make sure we're doing what's right for our world and the Social Distancing Act. And then quickly it kind of devolved into, like, this, like, political pandering
mm-hmm.
where we become divided very, very quickly.
Yeah.
Like, to the fact of, you know, even, like, should one wear a mask to the grocery is no longer like a health and safety issue. It's a political issue
sure.
and statement. And that's kind of funky, right? Like, that's so insane that that's quickly turned into. It's no longer, you know, like, what is the best practice for health and safety? It's what news media am I listening to?
Mm-hmm.
What political, you know, groups am I following? That's the defining thing of whether or not I'll wear a mask. And that's bizarre. Like, that's, and I'm sure that's part of that mental health of, like, that trying to latch on to part of this identity, you know, whether that's your political identity or, you know, something to give that sense of control, right?
Sure.
Like,
yeah.
Because that makes it safer if I'm with the good crowd
mm-hmm.
and there's a perceived enemy, which, again, my political enemy could be, you know, that helps that sense of control, I feel. Is that,
sure.
you think
yeah.
that's something there?
Yeah. And I definitely think a lot of it, like I said, is fear-based,
yeah.
right? Like, there's so many unknowns and you know, if I believe that going out without a mask could potentially lead me to become ill and
mm-hmm.
then I'd pass that on to my family, that is a terrifying idea.
Sure.
So I'm going to then listen to the people that are saying, you don't need a mask, you're going to be fine, it's just the flu,
mm-hmm.
then that's what I'm going to be drawn to because that feels safer for
sure.
me in my world.
Yeah.
Whether that's accurate or not is sort of irrelevant when it comes to my fear
mm-hmm.
and silencing my fear. So I think a lot of it is needing to recognize that that might be where we're coming from.
Yeah. Yeah, and then attached to that, and this is something we talked about like last week, it's not even just a global pandemic and how we're adapting to that as a country and a nation and a family and community. It's like we have major civil rights questions
yeah.
and discussions and protesting and issues going on at the same time. And for many people, it's kind of a shifting of worldviews of like my perceived notions of how the world worked might be different. Are being exposed and saying, like, maybe I need to reconsider some of the things that I thought were true. And maybe I need to pay a greater attention to things that I chose to maybe think I could or ignore, in a sense, you know, as people who are white. That's part of that, of, like, I didn't have to live with the police may not be my friend at every occasion, life. And now we're hearing more and more stories of, like, for parts of our community, they do have to live that every day.
Sure.
And now it's becoming more and more, like, I see that as a luxury that I didn't even really know I had in many ways.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And so that's pretty taxing too, right? Like, that's going to be taking its own mental toll on someone who's just sitting at home watching the news and the world is out of control. You're isolated. You're probably living your life, you know, in connection on Facebook
right.
or Twitter or things like that, which are not, like, bastions of, like, mental stability.
Sure.
Like,
right. Yeah.
Yeah. So you're going to these places that probably are doing more damage than good for yourself, for your own mental health.
Potentially at times, sure. I think there's a lot of really beautiful stuff out there.
Sure.
As well. So it certainly is about what are you choosing to consume? What media are you choosing to consume and what are you not? And with everything, with us utilizing all of these virtual platforms, there is a lot more time spent on electronics, which, you know, it impacts your whole body, impacts your eyes, impacts your, you know, your physical self. And so that is going to then lead to more exhaustion and more irritability.
Sure.
And then when you're consuming these sort of polarizing things, it just makes it really hard.
Yeah. But I think what's tough about sometimes too, like being on like social media for my mental health too, is like seeing like all the other people out there who are like, take advantage of this time. We're, you know, redoing part of our house.
We're doing all
these works. I can finally focus in on these hobbies that I wanted to do. And I'm like, man, I just fed my kid 3 meals today.
I
feel like I'm still like, did I win? I don't know, right?
I'm like,
where do people are finding these time to do this stuff?
I know.
Yeah.
I saw that too. Yeah, I know you and I have talked a lot about that, of people that are taking this time to do DIY home projects or something like that. And we've been talking about painting our living room for 2 years since we bought this house.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the day, like, thinking about what did we get done today? Well, we both tried to do our jobs and take care of a 1-year-old.
Yeah, and he's alive. So, I mean, so I guess we're definitely succeeding.
Yeah.
But sometimes that's part of that mental of like, it feels like all this time at home.
Sure.
And yet, these things I wanted to get done didn't really get done.
Sure.
You know, and so it's easy. And then that's part of that Facebook mentality of like, well, I see on Facebook other people are doing this. How?
I know,
and I'm
sure.
Not. Am I failing? You know, and maybe they don't have a 1-year-old. Maybe they're not having to work full-time jobs. Maybe those things aren't put on their plate. Maybe they are, and they're just better at time management than we are. But, like, you know, like, I think that's part of that challenge, too. So we kind of identified some challenges.
Yeah.
I think maybe now let's try to talk about some solutions. You know, maybe, like, we have mental health issues. We have easy, taxing depression, anxiety, frustration, fear. All these things can be going on at once in a lot of parts of our home. What do we do now? How can we manage this?
Yeah. I guess to be clear, frustration and fear are not mental health issues. But people who have underlying depression and anxiety, whether they know about it or not, is certainly heightened. But I think also in this time, it's really challenged people to feel things that maybe they don't often allow themselves to feel or identify.
Yeah.
But yes, I do think there are really beautiful things that are happening in this time. I mean, I think I mentioned it earlier, the use of technology, being able to connect to people in ways that we just didn't before.
Mm-hmm.
And we've always had these platforms. I mean, we've not always, you know, but
sure.
But we've had FaceTime for a little bit. But I certainly didn't think, let me hop on FaceTime with some friends who live in another state. Or let me use these apps that help me video connect to friends.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we're really utilizing technology in a way to help us stay connected to other people in ways that we didn't before.
Mm-hmm.
I think jobs are really using technology well, and trying to learn and trying to keep up. And I think it's going to change the way that people do their jobs going forward.
Sure.
So I think that is a really beautiful thing. I do think that at times throughout this process, when the community has gotten together and said, hey, we are going to wear masks or we are going to stay home, not necessarily for ourselves, but to protect the people that may be in more vulnerable populations.
Mm-hmm.
I think seeing that unity when there's a lot of disconnect with others, seeing that unity is something that is really powerful as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I do think that there are positive things coming out of this. You know, I think for us here, trying to, you know, while this has been really hard and it's been, there have been a lot of challenges, and there's privilege in being able to stay home.
Sure.
We're privileged in that. But I think it's also being able to take the time that we're given with our child,
mm-hmm.
that Timmy, we were able to celebrate his first birthday at home. We were able to see him crawl for the first time.
Yeah.
We were able to experience these things with him that we would experience before, but he would maybe experience those first at daycare, and then we'd see it afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
So the ability for us to get so much time with our child, you know, and I understand we have a one-year-old and other people have older kids and they might not want as much time with their kids.
Sure,
but
sure.
For us, that has been something really beautiful to
yeah.
just be able to focus on time with Timmy that we would not have gotten
mm-hmm.
had this stay-at-home order not been put in place.
I think for me, you know, one of the challenges that I'm trying to do better at for myself to kind of guard that own mental health aspect. And I, like you mentioned earlier, like when we talk about mental health, we're talking kind of in two terms, right? Like depression, anxiety, real mental plagues, and also like what do we do with frustration, anger, worry, these things that are not clinical issues, but they still affect our mental stability.
Absolutely. They're
yeah.
they're huge, they're human experiences,
yes.
is all this range
yeah.
of feeling.
Yeah. And so for me, it's kind of this balance of like when I turn to technology, what am I turning to? And I want to do a better job of saying, like, okay, I'm really focusing on the connection aspect of technology. I do want to stay informed, but and being informed sometimes leads us to a place of, now I'm just getting mad at the people who don't agree with me.
Sure.
And so then it's easy to live in that world a lot
mm-hmm.
on Facebook, on whatever news media again.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that is probably when you've reached a point of technology where you need to say, like, I just need a break from this.
Definitely.
Like, I'm feeding the
yeah.
anger inside me, and that's not going to be good for me and what I'm thinking and how I experience this world. It's just sitting there making myself mad.
Right.
And again, being informed is good.
Mm-hmm.
But once it crosses over into that spark of, like, let me cycle through the news or keep scrolling and so I can find those people on Facebook who disagree with me and read what they're saying about all these
sure.
things.
Right.
I think that's really when we're going, okay, I'm not here to be connected. I'm not here for information. I'm here just to be mad. I'm,
mm-hmm.
I'm here to release anger inside of me and to feed that anger inside of me. So I think that's probably where you're saying that's a step to say, let's cut that out, and that'll help your mental health and that'll help you get the rest and you need. Use that energy to do some DIY projects.
Paint
yeah.
your living room,
yeah.
that energy. Yeah, absolutely. And I think going through and finding the people that disagree with you on Facebook, and so you get riled up and you get passionate and you might comment and engage in some kind of word battle with them online. At the end of the day, that doesn't actually help
yeah.
with your anger and frustration.
Yeah.
It just sort of gives you this false sense of power that
mm-hmm.
you get sort of activated by this. But instead, taking this time to really get curious about what are you feeling and allow that to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
That part of kind of acknowledging who we are and what our experience is to be able to let it be without having to assign judgment to it or try to change it by getting on Facebook or something like that.
Yeah. I think kind of attached to that too, for me, you know, how I can work on my own like mental processes during this time is not just kind of like making sure like I'm taking the time to unplug from those processes, but I'm also allowing myself a lot of grace during this time.
Yes, definitely.
That it's okay that this week the lawn didn't get mowed.
Right.
It's okay that our bushes aren't trimmed. Like, it's okay. Like, and giving yourself that freedom to be like, it didn't have to be perfect for it to work or for it to be good.
Yes.
And I think that, you know, it's okay that, like, tonight all we did was just kind of curl up in bed and watch, you know, Top Chef reruns, you know, like, and that was okay. And it's okay that, like, dishes were still a little dirty. Like, and that didn't mean we're not taking advantage or we're not getting everything done. Right. So I think, is that, you know, do you identify that or agree with that like that? Cutting yourself some slack right now, giving yourself some grace of saying, like, this is really hard.
Yes.
And getting through it is part of, like, it's sometimes good enough, right? Like,
oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. There's a book called The Body Keeps the Score. And it's a really good one that talks about, essentially, how your body holds on to physical stress. And in a way that maybe your brain hasn't quite processed that you feel stressed. So your brain thinks, oh, we're doing great. We're just going through day to day, getting things done and going to sleep at night and feeling good. But your body is really hanging on to all the stress of what's happening in our world right now. And so I think, you know, everybody is at their sort of emotional peak. And so that might mean that you get more frustrated than you would normally, or you get sad when you can't really figure out what's making you sad, or you get really happy that there's a lot of joy in a certain moment, and then you might feel guilty that you're feeling happy because there's so much sadness happening. And so I think definitely there has to be space to allow good enough. I think that should be true in our lives, even without a global pandemic.
Sure.
But especially now, to make room for there to be grace, understanding, kindness, compassion towards ourselves and people around us.
Mm-hmm.
Because, yeah, I think everybody is just sort of at that emotional peak, and we're just not operating in the same ways that we would operate have all of this not happened in such a short amount of time.
And so
we have to make adjustments for that.
And I think on top of that, of not only giving ourselves some grace, but trying to extend that to one another is going to be helpful as well. I know, you know, to appear behind the curtain of the Nazarov household. You know, we and during corona times, during pandemic times, we've had some fights as a couple, you know, that were probably fueled not just by whatever we're fighting about, right? Like, they're fueled by my, you know, frustration and anger at the world. They're fueled by fear and anxiety. They're fueled by sometimes being like, I feel helpless in our world, and they're coming out on one another. That's an easy place to be. You know,
I think most of the time when we fight, it's not actually what it's about. But
sure.
Yes. Yeah, definitely. You know, I think for me, it's been hard that my job, I hold space for other people's pain and other people's suffering. And typically I get to do that in my own office and then have a commute to decompress from that. And here, working from home, I don't have that.
Yeah, you have a flight of stairs.
Right. Or just a hallway. And so certainly I think that makes me more susceptible to becoming frustrated quicker or just more exhausted. And I mean, you're the safest person in my life, so you get to experience that as well.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You're welcome.
Sure, yeah. Yeah, and I think, you know, obviously it's hard in the moment to notice those things. But
sure.
Sometimes, you know, trying to take a step back and being like, what is fueling this? Am I really mad at the action, or am I exhausted?
Right.
Am I lonely? Am I longing for you know, a social connection with friends and family that I'm just not getting, and I'm, you know, I'm creating these like holes inside me, and it's just coming out on another person? Or did my wife or did my friend or do whatever do something that really actually made me mad? And sometimes
Right. It's
a little bit of a mix of both, right? Like,
sure.
You know, and so like, you know, so cutting people some grace too, not only when they maybe explode a little bit, but also being like, hey, what you did really wasn't that big of a deal, even though I made it so in my brain and my mind. And I'm sorry, you know, like, and that's some cathartic healing for Kat and I here on the podcast. You know, like,
we've Skyped in our marriage therapist, so here we go.
And yeah, I think we have not, but it's okay if we have.
Yeah.
Again, my wife is doing therapy online, and we support that. Not right now over coronavirus, but there have been times in our marriage where I've seen a therapist of like, I need some stuff to work out, things that are going on inside me that I just can't get out or I can't make sense of. And so I think that's maybe the last thing. Like, if you have these things that just cannot be solved with inside of you, finding a licensed professional to help navigate this maze going on inside you, like untangling this knot, is good. It's not weakness. It's not a burden. It's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
And many, many people need that thing. And it's not because they just can't handle life. Like,
yeah.
Like, it's not a stigma attached to wanting to speak to a professional I'm getting some guidance.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think there's something powerful about being able to share your story with someone who is not going to judge you and someone who can have an objective view of what you're saying. Like, we are incapable of being objective in our own lives, and our friends and our family are incapable of being objective because we all have an emotional tie to what's happening for us. And so when you meet with a therapist, when you can go into that space to have to say things that maybe we wouldn't want to say to anybody else, mm-hmm. and feel safe to do so and allow someone else to kind of give their thoughts or ask questions or help get to maybe the bottom of what's going on. Because yes, as a therapist, I bring knowledge, I bring education, I bring a skill set, and I bring humanness, but mm-hmm. I also bring objectivity. No. And so I think definitely having somebody who can just kind of listen and connect is vital.
Any other thoughts, Kat, as we kind of wrap up this beautiful, wonderful discussion? Oh my gosh, maybe the best podcast Beyonce has ever done.
Well, I mean, I was on a Beyonce podcast months ago, right after Timmy was born. So I think this one and that one probably rival each other.
Sure. One and two in some order. 1A and 1B probably really. Up at the top. Yeah, any other thoughts?
Yeah. You know, I think this is kind of coming towards the end. People are now pretty used to social distancing and or working from home. But I think something that is very important is get dressed. Like, get up, mm-hmm. wash your face. Girl, Wash Your Face is a book. I've not read it. But get dressed, wash your face, get outside. Trying to bring back some pieces of your routine are so important. I know somebody who will get up, get dressed in his work clothes, go get in his car, drive around the block, pull back into his garage, and now he's working. And then when his workday is done, he'll close his computer, get back in his car, drive around the block, come back home, and change into home clothes. Mm-hmm. And that feels crazy to me. I'm not doing that. But for him, that really helps in creating the separation between work and home. And so doing things like that, things that might help you to kind of create that some semblance of normalcy, mm-hmm. can be really helpful in this time.
Yeah. Thanks, Kat. Thank you for coming on our podcast.
Wow.
Yeah.
Thank you.
We really appreciate that. So if you... David usually does this part, so I'm probably going to mess it up.
Probably.
So if you liked what you heard... we are all over whatever podcast
social
are on.
Meets.
Whatever the podcast is on, we're there. If it's Apple Music, Spotify, Google Play, I'm sure that's a thing. I don't know. We're on it. Is that where games are on Google Play?
I don't know.
I don't know either. But wherever you're listening to podcasts, we're on that thing.
Is this one that fun music is going to
be? Yeah, we have the music playing right now. Yeah. Also, you can check us out on our social media, Beyond Sunday at Facebook. We've been doing some live podcasts on social media, so Dave and I have talked about doing some more of those things. We were trying to amp up our live stuff, but then Corona hit, and we're okay saying, like, maybe not all our grand plans just may not come to fruition, and that's okay. But yeah.
Doing your best.
Or you can let us know what you think at beyondsundaypodcast@gmail.com. I think that's what it is. If not...
I mean, you'll find it.
You'll figure it out.
Yeah, sure.
You're smart people. Our audience is real smart. It's probably the smartest podcast audience out there.
I mean, and probably the largest, honestly.
Yeah, smartest, most attractive.
Absolutely.
That's you. You
that
are
is
that.
You,
yes.
Guys.
Yeah. All right, well, thanks for listening. And we'll be back next week with more Beyond Sunday.